broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, I'm Ben. Good morning. Good morning, Hawaii. It's Saturday, June 10th, 2023. It's almost Father's Day. We're giving away two rounds of golf to Poipu Bay Golf Course for Father's Day. And you just got to be the ninth caller at 808-545-1111. All right, we're coming to you live from the Golf Club Studios on the lovely south shore of Oahu. All of that is very good, but what we're going to do today is try to figure out what left us all kind of in shock. Those of us who follow this game of golf, in shock, say, what was my response? Huh? You've done what? You're joining forces? What? Okay, we're gonna deal with that. Bob Herrig's going to be with us. He's senior writer, Sports Illustrated. Mark Rolfing, analyst and commentator, Golf Channel and NBC Sports, is with us as well. Cassandra Shriver, president of the LPGA Amateurs Hawaii chapter, in the house today. And Jeff Shackelford, author of Golf Architecture for Normal People. Finally, something. A Golf Architecture for Normal People. Yes, he'll be with us after we thank the people who make this show possible.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors: MD Restoration, Water Flood, Broken Pipe Cleanup, 24/7 licensed and insured. Aloha Power's Megastore is open behind the Costco gas station in Iwile. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile and Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips. SciPac Cybersecurity, an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere in Hawaii. Call 808-861-9595. And Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Jeff Shackelford, he's a contributor, Golf Channel, as well as a writer for many different publications. But he has his own website where he posts all of his news and notes, kind of a daily update on what he has been following in the game of golf. But he's also, as I said, a writer. He's an author. He wrote for the LA Times, Sports Illustrated, Golf Magazine, Lynx, The Golfer, Golf Web, Golf Journal, The Masters Journal, Golf Course Architecture, Golf Architecture, and his website is jeffshackelford.com. He created that in March of 2003. Voted the internet best top 10 by many, including Gary Van Sickle. In January, he became a partner in golfdigest.com, but he's also taught golf course design at Harvard University Graduate School of Design with noted architect Brian Silva. Co-designed the Rustic Canyon Golf Course, a collaborator with Gil Hans. Hans is the architect who did the 2016 Olympic course in Brazil. Now, his book is called Golf Architecture for Normal People. And one thing that I absolutely love about this is something that Dottie Pepper wrote, the LPGA great, author of Letters to a Future Champion. Imagine a book that allows you to see golf courses through an entirely different lens, one that makes your time more enjoyable, the shared experiences and conversations more lively, the strategy more understood and appreciated, and that's all before you get the full effect. As you put your feet on the ground with your best four-legged pal beside you, welcome into the clubhouse, Jeff Shackelford.
Danielle, that was probably more my life story than anybody needed to hear, but thank you so much.
Well, I think it's important for people to understand just how much you know before we get into your book.
Oh, I'll just, confidently try to wing it. So, yes, but I do appreciate the lovely setup.
You're welcome. All right. Obviously, I'm having some issues with my voice today for the last couple of days. So you will forgive me if I don't sound quite myself. So this book helps golfers of all skill levels become keener observers while getting more joy out of playing any golf course, introduces simple and easy to remember ways to judge a design's merits. Can you start with those 2 points?
Yeah, I mean, we're in an interesting time in the game where so many more people have kind of realized what I realized, luckily, as a kid. I'm one of those weird kids who would draw golf holes before I really even played golf in my, you know, my notebook when I was bored in class. And I just have always been most fascinated by the course part of the game and kind of got into what I do because of that, and in part because people spend all this money and they travel all over the world, or they always have very strong opinions about their home course. And it's always been odd to me that more people weren't interested in the topic. Well, now here we are at a very interesting time in the game where golfers have really realized it's fun to know about the design and pick it apart. And you know, on the days when your game stinks, you know, to be able to still enjoy the property and the beauty or the subtleties. And that's really a big thing for me is after doing this book is how many cool holes just have one or two really great subtle things. And maybe we don't appreciate that enough. You know, in times we've kind of gone down some trends that are based on photography and awards. And anyway, so I just try to really all pare it down in ways that that kind of feed into what's going on in the world right now, which is that people just want to know enough to be dangerous and to be able to hold their own in an argument or just to get a little more enjoyment out of the game from something besides, you know, hitting shots or buying clubs or booking a trip.
Yeah. All right. I like what Bob Herrig wrote. Jeff Shackelford helps those among us who don't know the difference between bent and Bermuda feel better about ourselves. It's a fun read with lots of history, plenty of anecdotes, and a way for golfers to better appreciate the courses they're playing. So knowing the golf course, knowing the architect, knowing what they did helps you strategize, even though it's not necessarily, I mean, strategy sounds so intense. So much knowledge needs to go into it. But at least you don't need to strategize so much as you just understand what the golf course architect, the guy who created the course, is trying to make you do.
Yeah, and that is a big part of it. Is I you know, the architecture world's been hijacked a little bit sometimes, like the wine world and other pursuits with big fancy words and making it all sound much deeper than it is. And I lay out in the book, I love that. I love wonkery and an intellectual side, because a lot of that side of the game has really driven us to the point we're at, where we've kind of shed some past beliefs that a course had to be so hard and this and that. And the fun word is really, you know, become a positive thing. Believe, I mean, it's amazing to think that people didn't think a course should be fun. It should be a test. And so it's been that little world of geeks who've been questioning trends that led to this point. You know, you want a course to be a thing that's this beautiful reflection of its where it's located. Maybe you have to sell real estate or whatever other components come with developing and funding it. But at the end of the day, it's got to be fun. And so this trend we've seen with restoration of courses and opening up more short grass and more width, it's all, again, the big word crowd. We have our reasons, and I think it's pushed things in a great direction. But ultimately, we want it to be fun to play, fun to analyze, and just a pleasure to add that component to your life as a golfer, to be a little more, just to have a little more of a trained eye.
Trained eye. That's what we're going to get into. But before we do that, what is the difference between bent and Bermuda?
Well, it's as simple cool season grasses versus warm season grasses. And L.A. Country Club this week, coming week for the U.S. Open, it has exactly that. It's got bent grass greens, but it's got, because we have a weird climate in L.A. where the course is. It's right in the middle of this. It's sort of deserty. It's sort of coastal. And it's so there's Bermuda fairways. There's bent greens. There's tall fescue, which is a cool season grass that likes moisture and cooler weather around the bunkers. And yeah, it's quite the hodgepodge, really place to study the different kinds of grasses. But what? You don't have a lot of cool season grasses in Hawaii.
No, we have a lot of Bermuda or Paspalum,
right.
Seashore Paspalum.
As you should.
Right, yeah, right. Because we're on the seashore.
Yeah.
All right, and then advises how to manage technology and common sense to decode deceptive design elements. Wow, that's one of the things that this book by Jeff Shackelford will help you understand. The book is Golf Architecture for Normal People Like Me, and it advises how to merge technology and common sense to decode deceptive design elements. Give us an example.
Well, what happened since I did a book in 2003, Danielle, it was meant to be a primer on design. And I'm still very proud of the book and like what's in it. But one, it's a little too long. And number two, a whole bunch of things have changed in terms of the internet and Google Earth and things like that that we didn't have then. And so you can do a lot of research on a course, and sometimes maybe too much, before you play it. And it's just so different now in a good way, for the most part, what you can learn. You could also overdo it. You know, there are tour players who rely on analysts who go off of Google Earth to tell them how to play a hole, which is insane, for a tour player especially. But for us, the everyday person, there are some very simple things you can kind of go through a course and use Google Maps, Google Earth, whatever, aerial photos, to kind of know where some things are or what's going to be deceiving in terms of bunker placement. And sometimes it's just as simple as knowing where the clubhouse is, where the range is, where the nearby good place is to eat, you know, getting that sense of place and comfort going into a round, because golf's never very comfortable to begin with when you start. So that's where it's a tool, and I try to explain the different ways that you can use the tool and the ways where it can really backfire on you if you overthink it and you over-obsess. And it's a neat change since just in the last 20 years in terms of it, at least from a pure golf analysis standpoint.
Now, is this book for someone, like a lot of people who start, and I'm thinking of myself, of course, always when I put out these examples, you know, I just want to get the ball to go straight ahead.
Sure.
I would really like you to go to a place. I don't necessarily know what the next shot will be. I'm just hoping to go forward. That's how it was, right? And so would this book help me too?
I don't think I'm going to help you with your actual ball strike.
No. but I mean, knowing, because, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, God, I don't know if I'm really ready for something so complex. But
sure.
It sounds like anyone could be ready for this book.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. I went on the Amazon page the other day, and I saw somebody gave it 3 stars, and I went to read the review, and it said, this is too basic. This is for too many people. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the best review I've ever read. This is dreamy. This is just what I wanted to hear. Cause you know, when you do it and you're, this is your area, and I'll say it's my expertise, or whatever you want to call it. But I'm worried that I still get a little too geeky or insidery. And so that was, that was thrilling to read. I do think a good player who's into course design would still enjoy some of the ideas, because I do go into some kind of offbeat things that I hope sort of make people look at a course in a different way. But no, it's definitely meant for all golfers and people who just want to know enough. And nobody who plays tennis travels the world to see different courts, unless it's maybe to play clay or grass. But otherwise, it's the same thing everywhere you go. And golf is no two courses are the same. And it's a lot of fun to be, especially when you're down on your game or it's just not much fun. But something's you're yippy or whatever's going on, it's still fun to have this side of the life of a golfer as being a connoisseur of design and appreciating things or being able to, you know, say why you think a place isn't very good. I also get into, you know, how dangerous that could be if you're the guest of somebody at a place. I'm not advised to share your innermost thoughts.
Yes. Keep it to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like a couple of the points that I guess I'm not sure who came up with these points, but it says, cuts through entrenched architectural snootiness to drive home the importance of a few timeless design tenets. Design snootiness. And along that line, there is suggests diplomatic ways to disarm architectural elitists and settle 19th hole debates. Now tell us, number two in that suggesting diplomatic ways to disarm architecture elitists and settle 19th hole debates. What do you suggest?
Oh, yeah, no. I provide some telltale words, you know, like wine people who start getting into things being too oaky. you know, we have, you know, you can usually detect, I get into the routing side. Routing's become this word that is sort of a, to me, it's, again, I don't want to discourage people giving a course a lot of thought, but I do know, having done some routing, that it's a hard thing to analyze, and unless you really know all the ins and outs of the evolution of a project, you just don't know what you're talking about if you're analyzing the routing. Now, you can analyze it for what ended up being built, but so it's one of those buzzwords, and there's a few others that I note where you can smoke out a blowhard, if you will.
Yeah. Okay, we're talking with golf architecture expert Jeff Shackelford, and his book is Golf Architecture for Normal People. All right. Now, I've got to ask you, because, you know, what was your reaction earlier this week to news that there was going to be, it's not a merger, a partnership, a working relationship between LIV, that's not really what it is, because it's the public investment fund, the Saudi public investment fund, which is what PIF is, between them and the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour. What was your reaction?
Well, my reaction was that at some point there would be a settlement. I did not expect it to happen quite when it did and in the way it did. At all. I didn't expect the kumbaya stuff, but I do think there were signs, you know, after the Dominion case that Fox allowed to somehow go to the edge of trial after depositions and things that were just a disaster, that was a factor that was going to probably encourage these sides, because it was not going well for the Saudi Arabia side of things. And in court, the PGA Tour's lawyers were just killing them at every turn, and they were never going to allow it to get to that point. And then I think what became apparent, we know the tour's been throwing money around, and some of us who are not part of the kind of living in fear of the tour, part of the media world, were wondering how you could be building such an unsustainable model and throwing, where was this money coming from? And it just seems like from some of the tea leaves that we got that they figured out there was a point where the cost of the case, the cost of the bumping up purses to fight Liv was just wasn't going to be sustainable much longer. And so the two sides had something to agree on. Of course, we don't really know what they agreed on. They really don't have any details.
So, no.
And they seem to be rolling out new ones each day to test case them. And it's that part is just stunning beyond belief. Even for somebody like me who's kind of seen the oddball thinking at times during this whole saga and the lack of planning and the lack of foresight. So that's been a component I didn't expect, that they still don't have any concrete thoughts that they can share with people on this. We'll see. I'm very glad, though, they got it out of the way when they did. We have the U.S. Open coming to town next week here in L.A., and it'll still be a big storyline, but it would have been worse if it kind of leaked out or something in the middle of the national championship.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was really hard on the Canadian Open.
Brutal. 2 years in a row, too.
Yeah. It's like every time something is dropped on them, the RBC Canadian Open, RBC being as generous as they are. But we've got a note. This young man is in the lead right now. He, I think, has made 7 out of 20 cuts. He's earned about $180,000+ this year. Carl Yuan out of China, University of Washington. And right now he's had a 68 and a 67. And he's in the lead. It's really kind of cool to see. And it's cool to see Tyrrell Hatton doing so well, Nick Taylor, Aaron Rye, Corey Connors, and Rory McIlroy coming on. Now, I got to ask you, did all of this information that we got this past week kind of explain a little bit of what's going on in Rory's world?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, we've known for a while he's probably been dragged into this too far. And I don't believe, though, when at the PGA Championship we saw him and he seemed weary, I don't think this was what was causing that. I don't think he knew about this until a few days before it was revealed. So, but there's no question that he's been dragged into things that, because he's a nice person and passionate and articulate, that he shouldn't have been. When you have a commissioner making $15 million a year, it's kind of supposed to be their job to do that. And
did you say
I think his game has suffered. So I hope that I've been advocating that next week he not do a press conference. He's never played LA North. I know the course very well, and there's a lot going on there that we put back into the restoration we did, and he needs to spend his time getting to know it instead of standing around beating this just horribly dead topic, at least in his world, the amount of time he's had to give to it.
Yep. I agree with you 100%. He needs to just say, thank you very much. I got work to do.
Yeah. I'd love you just go full Ben Hogan, you know, pay tribute to Ben. I'm in LA. I'm going to be like Ben Hogan, who won the last U.S. Open here. Sorry, people. I've said all I could say. I have to rest and I have to prepare.
I like that.
It's not his style. He's a nice person that way. And some people will go, oh, what's it going to do? What's a half hour of his time? It's draining. It's the time on camera. It's the stuff around it. It's the thinking of through your answers a little bit. No, it's draining. It's a waste of time right now for him. He wants to win a U.S. Open. He loves L.A. You know, he can come here. Nobody knows who he is, which is so funny. It's a big city, and he can go sit in the coffee shop, and nobody has a clue who that guy is over there. In his gym shorts, reading a book, and he's that, you know, he's told us that before. He and his wife have gone to Santa Monica, they go sit at the shop, and nobody bothers him. And so he needs to go into a little different mode, and I'm not optimistic, though. He's just too nice of a person. He'll just be Rory.
I hope he follows your advice. Jeff Shackelford, I'm sorry, I can't talk today. Jeff Shackelford. He is author and writer. JeffShackelford.com is where you're going to find him. And the book is Golf Architecture for Normal People. Thanks for being inside the clubhouse with me.
As always, Danielle, thank you.
Aloha. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk with Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Ivele. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore. Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me? Let's go. Come on.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SIPAC is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets with the serenity that comes from having SIPAC watching your network and infrastructure so you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at SIPAC.com. That's CYPA.com.
Tee up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, grip it, and rip it. Did I do that? Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator for Golf Channel and NBC Sports, member Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame, and the 2022 PGA Distinguished Service Award recipient with his wife, Deb, and contributor of the Dad's Advice Project. Mark Rolfing is on NBC and Golf Channel. A new contract, a new deal, and with this new, all of a sudden we've got a new situation. Talk about everything being new. Here he is after the tidal wave of shock and very little awe inflicted by the PGA Tour and the Saudi Public Investment Fund. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
Well, thank you, Danielle. I don't know. I will try to answer your questions, but I'm not sure I can. I can tell you I'm on my way to the U.S. Open.
Yay!
Yay, finally. But I don't think it's going to be anything like what we expected from the U.S. Open. And as much as I agree with Jeff Shackelford, it would be better for McIlroy to not do a press conference. I got my schedule this morning from Golf Channel for live from the U.S. Open, and I'm on Tuesday. And right in the middle of my show on Tuesday, there are three press conferences. Now, think about these three guys going into that media center. It's going to be Rory McIlroy, Brooks Koepka, and John Rahm. And if they think the questions are going to be about winning the U.S. Open, I think they're mistaken.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, when I was looking at Golf Central and, you know, I under the cloak of silence, DP Tour, PGA Tour, so it's the DP World Tour, the PGA Tour, and the Public Investment Fund, or PIF, the owner of the LIV Golf entity on a global basis. So there is a new collectively owned for-profit entity with no name yet. So that's what they're creating. It's not a merger. It's a new creation. So PIF, the Public Investment Fund, will make a capital investment into this new entity to facilitate its growth. PGA Tour remains a 501c6 tax-exempt organization. PGA Tour Inc. retains administrative oversight of the PGA Tour, including sanctioning of events, mutually agreed end to all pending litigation between the participating parties. How important was that? And the process to be established for players to reapply for PGA Tour or DP World Tour membership after the 2023 season is to be determined. So it's a TBD. So much to work out in this. I mean, they don't. How much have you heard that they know what they're doing?
Well, I think they know what they're doing, and they probably had more of a strategy than they're being credited for. Mm-hmm. Having said that, there's still some big questions in my mind. The first one is, clearly, if the PGA Tour was winning the battle against LIV, which they were, LIV was not getting traction, and every court decision that has been made basically went in the favor of the PGA Tour. With the advantage like the PGA Tour had, why would they make this deal? To me, it's pretty clear that the financial burden had become substantial. We're hearing rumors that already $50 million in legal fees have been spent by the PGA Tour. But also, if you take a look at the money that the PGA Tour was going to have to cough up in order to continue the fight against LIV, to elevate purses, to do all that was just too significant for them to not try and make a deal. I don't think we're a long way from a deal, Danielle. I'm really worried about the Justice Department decision. You have to remember, PGA Tour is under investigation by the Justice Department before this LIV PIF thing ever came along. There was an investigation that has been started about their tax-exempt status, and there are several senators that want to take that tax-exempt status away. All this does is put more fuel into that discussion. And as I think about it, I'm wondering whether the Saudi group wouldn't actually claim a victory if this deal didn't go through. Let's say it didn't go through and was blocked. What the Saudis would have accomplished is getting everybody on the PGA Tour policy board and basically at the PGA Tour, they've been able to get them to agree that accepting the Saudi money would be okay. You know, we are now knowing that the PGA Tour says it's okay to take that Saudi money. If it doesn't go through and gets blocked and doesn't happen, I think the Saudis still in some way might have gotten a victory there.
Yes, yes. And it certainly isn't going well with public opinion. It hasn't gone well for a long time with public opinion. That's why people didn't like LIV. The fact that this Saudi money was being used to support it. Now, what, Saudi money is going to underpin the PGA Tour, give them the money that it takes to elevate? So, in other words, the folks, sponsors, the RBCs of the world, they didn't want to spend any money, $25 million or whatever it was, to elevate events. I mean, how many people could afford to put $25 million into a one-week affair and be able to justify that as an advertising campaign?
Yeah, that was going to be extremely difficult. We know there's been pushback by sponsors, and we know that the initiative to create elevated events this past year, starting with Century over on Maui, you know, that basically came out of PGA Tour financial reserves. So, you know, was that sustainable long term? I don't think so. The interesting part of this is the only substance to the deal that I can see at this point is the agreement to dissolve any litigation, that there would be no more litigation. That's the only thing. Yet, from what the Golf Channel lawyer just said on Golf Channel about an hour ago, there is no evidence that any filings have been made to dissolve all this litigation. That has not begun yet. So there is a lot of jockeying still going on, a lot of negotiating, a lot of discussions, and we just don't really have enough information to really make a logical thought process about it.
Right. Now, the PGA Tour membership, I kind of, if the PGA Tour is running out of money because they have to, I mean, how do you go up against a gorilla with, what is it, $690 billion, their public investment fund? I mean, that's never gonna go broke. So the PGA Tour may have been taking, I don't want to say they were, but may have been taking money out of, let's say, the PGA Tour pension fund. So they're depleting resources on their side, and this saves them from having to do that? Does
it? It may. I don't know. Remember that there has been no commitment for any funding yet by the Saudi Public Investment Fund. There's been no commitment to funding. They now have, all that's happened is they have an avenue, an exclusive avenue, to be able to invest if they decide they want to. Again, to me, so much of this is going to be determined by the Justice Department. Because if you think about it, what golf is doing here is basically going to create the landscape for the future of American sports. And that is why so many congressmen, so many senators are really afraid of golf making an arrangement like this, because next stop after that would be the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball. No American sports league yet has taken PIF money. You know, PIF money has gone to individual teams, you know, like in the Premier Soccer League or
right.
Formula One teams.
Yes.
None of the money yet has gone to a governing body.
Yes, and it's on the European side. They've been using the PIF money, but not in the United States. So what you're looking at the possibility that the NBA, the NHL, all of those various entities, those bodies, could then be sucked into this whole PIF world. And the Saudis would be underpinning, again, other agencies we wouldn't have our sovereignty. It's like so strange to have a Saudi entity kind of running the PGA Tour. It's odd. Now, what about the player? Let's talk, just because we have no idea what's going to happen, actually. Greg Norman has been so quiet. And I think it was, it came out this morning, I'm not sure if it was ESPN, something about Liv's not going to make it through the rest of the year because they're running out of money. That doesn't make any sense to me. And that Greg Norman will not have a role in whatever comes out between the PGA Tour and PIF and DP World, if anything comes out of it.
Well, I do not believe Greg Norman will have a role. That's been problematic for a long time. And we heard Tiger Woods, you know, say 6 months ago that the only way there should be any discussion is if Greg Norman goes. Now, keep in mind that according to the parameters of this deal, and according to Jimmy Dunn in his Sports Illustrated interview yesterday, and I have so much respect for Jimmy Dunn. I know him. I call him a friend. He is a smart, smart man. So he's not going to get the wool pulled over his eyes on this one. But if you take a look at it, PIF is basically putting money into a new organization. Jay Monahan would be the boss in this organization of LIV Golf. He would not be the boss necessarily of this new organization, because Yasser, the Saudi, would be the chairman. But in terms of LIV Golf, that would be under the auspices of the PGA Tour, and Jay would have sole discretion by the end of the year to to dissolve LIV if he wants to. If he decides that's the right thing to do, then he could dissolve it. But the deal has to go through in order for him to have the power to be able to dissolve LIV. And given everything that Greg Norman has said about Jay Monahan and about the PGA Tour and about PGA Tour players, I would expect that to happen if this deal goes through.
Yes. Now, I can see something. I could see the PGA Tour being a true competitive entity and LIV being allowed to exist as an entertainment thing. About, you know, the team stuff and whatever else they wanted to throw in, maybe men's and women's teams, whatever, to have that sort of part of the game for people to dance and shout and throw stuff around in the air. That's a possibility. Just about anything.
Well, I suppose it is, but I suppose it is, Danielle. But keep in mind, the PGA Tour has already started their own team league.
Oh.
This is the Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy league that is going to begin in January of next year. There's going to be six three-man or three-woman teams. We don't know the exact details of it, except we know that the two main guys in it are Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy.
Far out. That's cool.
So I believe the PGA Tour is ahead of them on that one. I think LIV is going to have some problems, and the real issue then is going to be what is going to happen to these LIV players. Are they just done playing golf for the rest of their lives? Because if Jay Monahan and Jimmy Dunn and a small group of people are going to be a committee to decide what sort of penalties these players have to pay, or what amount of time for a suspension to come back, it's going to be quite a while before they get back to the PGA Tour.
Oh, you know, and then there's the guys who stuck to the PGA Tour. You know, they were committed to the PGA Tour. They said, we're not going to take the $100 million, or what was Ricky Fowler offered, $60 million or $600 million? Goodness gracious, you know, the zeros just seem to keep getting larger and larger. They must be furious.
I think they are, and it sounds to me like the solution that is going to come out of this to get them compensated is that these players would receive equity. The players that stayed loyal to the PGA Tour would be eligible to receive equity in the new company that's being formed. Not the PGA Tour, not the DP World Tour, not LIV Golf, but this new company that basically would be funded by PIF. The players that stayed loyal to the PGA Tour would be eligible to get equity in that. The players that went to LIV would not. So that would be their way of compensating them.
Yeah, yeah. And do you think the LIV golfers, those who left the PGA Tour and want back in, will be charged? Like, pay a fee to come in?
Absolutely. Absolutely will. Now, keep in mind that I still believe, Danielle, and I've told you this before, the people that are going to make the ultimate decision here are the fans. It's not going to be the governing bodies. It's not going to be PIF. It's going to be the fans. Because if the fans want to see Dustin Johnson playing on the tour again, or if the fans want to see Bryson DeChambeau, or will you name any one of those players, if the fans are loud enough about wanting him back and that pressure is applied, they won't stand for having some sort of, you know, classic duel going on for, you know, the next 2 to 5 years, let's say. They wouldn't stand for that.
Yeah, absolutely. We were so tired of it. we're so,
yeah.
It's like done already. Oh, goodness gracious. It was interesting to read the USGA's comment. Like most of the golf world, we were surprised if this proposed consolidation can resolve the differences in the men's professional game, then it is an important step forward. Augusta National, we are encouraged by this announcement, which represents a positive development in bringing harmony to men's professional golf. Augusta National Golf Club and the Masters Tournament are and will remain devoted to developing and celebrating its many virtues. You know, it's perfect. They're saying, harmony, can we just get along? Can we go back to being friends?
Well, that's the big question. I haven't seen anything yet that would tell me that, yes, we can. I am encouraged, and I think it's good news that we're actually sitting down and talking about this, because that should have occurred 2 years ago. If you remember, the first proposal that came on Jay Monahan's desk over 2 years ago about a Saudi public investment-funded proposal to the PGA Tour, he would not take a meeting. He would not even consider it. So now a couple years later, we're at least talking. That is a good sign. But this deal is a long way from done. There's a lot of issues to be worked out, and I think it's going to take some time. It is the big issue for a lot of us, and particularly, you know, Century and Hawaii and
yes.
And you know, that event is almost, you know what, just 6 months away now.
Yes.
So and there's still a lot of uncertainty as to what could actually be accomplished before that. I don't know.
Interesting. We're just we just have, you know, all these different things are just being thrown at us. What was your reaction? To me, it was, say what? I saw it on Sky Sports on Twitter, right? And I went, huh? So what? They what? They're joining forces? And then there was all this talking about mergers, right? This is not a merger.
No, not a merger at all. You were spot on there, Danielle. It is not a merger. People should stop using that word. It is not at all. It's the creation of a new company, a new partnership, a new entity. To try and bring global golf together. I think Jay Monahan did make a mistake when he said 2 days ago that one of the motivations for the PGA Tour to do this was to take a competitor off the board, was what he said. And boy, if you think the Justice Department isn't going to look at that one and say, take a competitor off the board, that's against the law.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I think they have to be very, very careful about how this is structured and really how it is, you know, communicated to everybody, because the process has not been great, obviously.
He's making, what, $15 million a year? Is that really how much he makes?
Well, I heard Jeff say that. I don't know for exactly what he's making. I'm sure he's well compensated, but look, Roger Goodell makes $100 million.
Okay.
For the NFL, these guys make a lot of money, Daniel, more than you and me, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, so, you know, at that level, he should know better. You know, he should know better. He shouldn't be making mistakes like that. You don't say that. And LIV was not a competitor. It was the PIF that was a competitor. They were the one underpinning this thing, giving them the money to create LIV Golf. But LIV was about to go under anyway, or is about to go under. It don't make no money, you know? I mean, I just got so angry. Excuse me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's really hard to fathom this and to kind of stomach it. But... you know, in the end, at least the concept of trying to get everybody together to talk about it is a good one. Whether they've come up with anything, I am still pretty skeptical.
Yeah, we're going to have to sit here, you know, and I feel so sorry for the folks, the 9/11 families, you know, and a hypocrite, yes. At least he owned that, you know, listening to what he said a year ago and listening to what he said, it's just like, please. Anyway, I could go on and on. I am so excited that you are going to the U.S. Open. The U.S. Open, what do you expect? This course hasn't been used that often for a U.S. Open.
No, 75 years. It is a phenomenal golf course. It doesn't really favor any particular style of play. Fairways are wide open. I do think the big hitters will have an advantage. But what this will do What LA Country Club North Course is going to do is expose any weaknesses. If you have any kind of deficiency in your game, whether it's driving, approach play, you know, scrambling around the greens, putting, you name it, if there's any deficiency, it is going to get exposed. Over 72 holes, you have no chance. So I really think it's a narrow, narrow field in terms of potential winners. I don't think there's any more than probably 15 or 20 guys that can win this U.S. Open.
Wow. 15 or 20? Okay. Think about the ones that you're thinking of just for a second here. The North Course that'll be used for the 2023 U.S. Open was designed by club member and golf course architect George C. Thomas Jr. in 1928, rehabilitated in 2010 by Gil Hands, who restored the course to its 1928 layout. So we think of the 20s, is that going to be narrow fairways? I must be very interesting the way, because they didn't play for length necessarily then. It was more for ability to get the ball to its destination.
Yeah, keep in mind too, though, Danielle, that high rough was really not part of the equation back in the 20s. And George Thomas was a brilliant architect. You know, he did the Bel Air Country Club, which is not very far away. Another phenomenal course in LA, and of course Riviera. But, you know, in this renovation that was done in 2010, that was quite a while ago. That was, 13 years ago now?
Yeah.
By Gil Hands, and Jeff Shackelford was involved in that. It's a different-looking course. Basically, the site, Danielle, is two gigantic ridges, two sort of plateau areas, and then a huge barranca that goes through the middle of all of it. When you tune in and watch this thing, you're going to be shocked at how natural it all looks. It's very scruffy looking. There's going to be lost balls everywhere out there. Because this is not 3-inch rough, you know, around the edges of the fairways. There's some places where you're going to hit it and not be able to find it.
Now, I know you don't want to pick just one person. Who are a couple of the guys that you think could win?
Well, you know, as I look at the player least affected right now, actually there's two of them, by this whole discussion about the PIF is John Rahm and Scottie Scheffler. We haven't heard anything from either one of those guys, so I think that's a huge advantage, and not to mention that they all have tremendous all-around games. I'll tell you who I have my eye on, though. Xander Schauffele.
Oh.
If you take a look, first of all, he's a Southern California guy. His last five U.S. Opens, he's been in the top 15, every single one of them. He's been knocking on the door, and he's the kind of guy that doesn't have the deficiency or a weakness in his game. Scottie Scheffler has got a weakness right now, his putting.
Yeah.
He's not putting very well at all, but I like Schauffele this week.
Nice. Mark Rolfing, analyst, commentator, Golf Channel, and NBC Sports. Thank you for spending so much time.
You got it, Danielle. Take care. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Aloha. All right, we're coming back with Cassandra Shriver, and she's president at Shriver. I can't talk, and so I'm not enunciating as I should be. Cassandra Shriver, president, LPGA Amateurs Hawaii chapter, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair. Mold remediation. Asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now, get MD cleaned.
Breaking news. If you've ever wondered how to improve your home's looks at a reasonable price, a beautiful new Rainer garage door may be perfect for you. By investing in a Rainer door, you will have a strong, quiet door to enjoy now and increase your home's value should you sell. Now is the best time to order your new Rainer door with the gorgeous looks you've been seeing on other homes. Improve your home. Call 676-3667 or visit HawaiiDoor.com. That's HawaiiDoor.com.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SIPAC is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets with the serenity that comes from having SIPAC watching your network and infrastructure so you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at SIPAC.com. That's CYPA.com.
SIPAC.com. All right. Now, I know the phones have been tied up. 808-545-1111. Two rounds of golf at Poipu Bay. It's like a $500 value. 808-545-1111. It's Father's Day. It's a gift. He'll love it.
Got to make this 30-foot putt. Checking the break, three fingers, quieting the mind. Where's my putter?
I'm holding it. Let's go back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Cassandra Shriver, she is so beautiful. Cassandra, I love your photo. President, LPGA Amateur Golf Association, Hawaii Chapter. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So what is the LPGA Amateur Golf Association?
So we are, the LPGA Amateur Golf Association is made up of about 130 chapters globally, so not just in the U.S., but also in a few other countries. We have over 15,500 members that participate in sort of social and golf events. We also are big volunteers. We volunteer at the Latte, for example, here, and other members volunteer around the country. So we're a group of women who love to play golf. We're all amateurs. We're of varying levels of golf. We have some scratch players, and we have some 50 handicappers, and we welcome everybody.
Right, so on.
It's a lot of fun.
Yes, it is a lot of fun. I am close to the 50, you know.
I'm close to 50 years old, so there we go.
I was thinking of the handicap. I haven't played in so long. I feel completely out of my depth. If anything, I go on the putting green and I say, I can still putt.
Well, that's excellent. You know, we have a lot of ladies that are high handicappers that come out and enjoy playing with us because we're welcoming. So I am a low handicapper, but I enjoy playing with high handicappers because I remember being that lady, that person who was, you know, making happy to break 100 or happy to break 110. So I enjoy being part of that journey for other women.
You know, as a member of the LPGA Amateur Golf Association and a founding member when it was the EWGA, I spent a lot of time really having a good time on the golf course. And it's because on the golf course, as a group of ladies having fun and yet, you know, working hard to get a good score, we could cheer each other on or, you know, offer a little consolation to, you know, it's okay, don't worry about it. It was a wonderful bonding experience for me. I loved being with the women.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that's one of the great things about this organization is that we have, you know, social golf where we're just out there having a good time together. And then there are opportunities for competitive golf as well. So it really provides the golfer whatever it is they're looking for in this organization. And I think that's why I'm a member and, you know, why I encourage other ladies to become members. So You're absolutely right. It is a lot of fun, and we have a good time together.
And you played in the Jenny K this year.
I did, if you want to call it playing. Yeah, it was a tough couple of days. Let's just say that. It's golf, right?
Right.
So some days you're on and some days you're not.
That's the bottom line. And the golf course, when you're not on, is just seems a little bit harder than it may be.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they do a tremendous job at Mid-Pacific Country Club, putting it all together. And the Jenny K is always fabulous, just like the Mid-Pac Open is, being up there. Now, how does a person become a member of the LPGA Amateur Golf Association Hawaii chapter?
So you can contact one of us through our Facebook page, or you can go directly to our chapter website. So that's, you know, just search LPGA Amateurs Hawaii, and our chapter website will come up. It asks you if you want to become a member. There are varying levels of membership. So there's membership for, you know, regular ladies, senior ladies, military ladies. So the membership levels vary. Once we get your information, then we sort of, you know, introduce you to what we do. And currently we're playing a couple of times a month at various golf courses throughout the island. So you'll be able to become, you know, get that information and then come join us when you're able.
So do you have social outings? You mentioned social.
We do. We're actually planning a big sort of, you know, kind of Top Golf event. Even though we don't have Top Golf here, we're going to plan something at Bayview where we just get together and, you know, golf is part of it, but it's super fun. They have those private rooms there. So, and that's, you know, we just get together and, you know, have a good time as friends.
Yes. And you get to meet. What do you do in like real life when you're not a golfer?
I'm a realtor in real life, which is amazing because it gives me the flexibility to play golf, you know, during the week and that kind of thing. So
yeah. And then you make friends maybe with other realtors that you've met, and then you can team up together.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a fantastic opportunity to just network, connect, you know, learn about each other's businesses, help each other out. You know, that was, you know, when you were one of the founding members, that was the mission sort of the EWGA, the Executive Women's Golf Association. We were all sort of professional women looking for other professional women to network with. And that hasn't changed in this sort of organization. It's just been adopted by the LPGA Foundation now.
Isn't that wonderful? It's really
fantastic.
Yeah. Being all under a similar umbrella. Just being amateurs, it's great, absolutely fabulous. And what golf courses do you generally play? I think you were at Royal Hawaiian last week.
We were. We played a game called Trouble, because if you've played at Royal Hawaiian, you know that you're constantly in trouble at that course. But yeah, we play at Royal Hawaiian. They're playing at Hawaii Kai today. We play out in the EVA courses, EVA Beach, and Hawaii Prince. We play all over. I think we've got a Pearl City Country Club event coming up. Olamana. We try to get around to all of the courses to accommodate all the women living, you know, all over the island.
Right. So no one has to drive particularly far all the time. That's
exactly.
Now you got to tell us what Trouble is.
Trouble is a game where you count. You add up points for trouble. So if you're in the bunker, you get a point. If you're out of bounds, you get 2 points. If you three putt, you get 4 points. And the object of the game really is to have the fewest points. But when you're at Royal Hawaiian, whoever has the most points wins. You just flip the script a little bit. So nobody feels bad about losing, you know, 10 balls that day.
That's what you... I saw that. You wrote that, you know, you were going to bring the golf balls so nobody worries about losing.
I did. I probably brought, you know, 200 golf balls, and we went through at least 100, if not 150 of them. So it was fabulous. The starters got a kick out of it as well. They were like, we haven't seen this yet. And I'm like, hey, we should come prepared. Sorry, Pro Shop, we're not buying your balls.
Yes, no biggie. So at Royal Hawaiian, the highest points were the winners.
Correct.
Why wasn't I there?
I don't know. It was fabulous, though, because, you know, we had ladies who were like, they just, you know, hit it out of bounds. They're like, oh, 2 points, you know, and it was a celebration. So
that's what I like. That's the LPGA Amateur Golf Association. You got women who know how to play and have fun, but they're also competitors and they're on. So that's, you know, and you bring out the best in each other. That's great. That's
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Cassandra Shriver, President, LPGA Amateur Golf Association, Hawaii Chapter. Just Google LPGA Amateur Hawaii and or go to Facebook and you'll find the page and you can get in touch and become a member and go out and have some fun with like-minded ladies and get to know some people in the island. And islands hopefully will expand. Cassandra Shriver again, President, LPGA Amateur Golf Association, Hawaii Chapter. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Daniel.
Absolutely. You too. Aloha. We're coming back. Bob Herrig, senior writer, Sports Illustrated, joining us after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Iwilei. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu. And by the way, I didn't even do the weather forecast for the day. Partly cloudy, scattered showers, mainly mornings and evenings. On the leeward side, mostly clear to partly cloudy, isolated showers. The low, I'm always looking at the low. Is it going to cool off to sleep good? Between 70 and 75. The high, up to 90 today. Fortunately, we have some trade winds with us, 15 to 25 miles per hour.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for Sports Illustrated, author of Tiger and Phil. Golf's most fascinating rivalry. Golf Writers Association of America member, of course, and attended the Indiana University on an Evans Scholarship. And if you've got any kids who are doing some caddying, be sure to look up Evans Scholarship. Just Google it, and you'll find out more about it. It's so cool. Bob Herrig, welcome into the clubhouse.
Hey, thanks. Good morning. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. So under the cloak of silence, boy, you know, you were quoted in other publications because this thing with LIV Golf and the PGA Tour and DP World and more importantly, the big gorilla in the warehouse here is the Public Investment Fund, PIF. it just came out of nowhere. Okay, did you have any inkling this was going to happen?
I had zero inkling, pretty much like everybody else. I mean, you know, I kind of try to follow this as closely as possible. And just the week before, there had been more legal wrangling, and you know, it was becoming more and more apparent that that lawsuit was gonna sort of linger for a long time. And you know, but just based on the comments that everybody had been saying, including Jay Monahan, you know, like that they would never talk to them, and you know, this, they're suing us, you know, there's no point in talking to them while we're being sued. No, it came out of nowhere. You know, I had somebody text me on Tuesday morning. I had just gotten back late Monday from the Memorial and Memorial tournament. And I was you know, sort of just going to get going on some U.S. Open stuff this week because it's obviously coming up here in a few days. And, you know, they said, hey, there's something going on. Is Liv and the tour merging? And I was like, no way. No chance, you know. And then I got a call from a colleague of mine who said, have you seen the CNBC report? And then, you know, within minutes, Jay and Yasser Al-Rumayyan, he's the governor of the PIF. Liv is sort of his baby. They were sitting next to each other being interviewed. And I mean, you know, I'd have been less shocked if Tiger and Elon were together you know, in an interview setting like that. I mean, seriously, it was just like, it did not see that coming. I mean, these guys have been fighting for all this time. And so, you know, we learned on Tuesday what they've sort of agreed to, but there are a million questions still to be answered. Who's in charge? What's it going to mean? What does it mean for Liv? You know, I think we can safely say that the PGA Tour as we know it, you know, the Canadian Open that's being played today, you know, the Travelers Championship that'll be played in 2 weeks, you know, that will continue as is. It seems that will remain. But there's a whole new entity that they're forming, a for-profit entity that, you know, the PIF is funding. Al-Rumayyan is going to be on the board of the PGA Tour. He's going to be the chairman of this new entity. Everything's kind of gone dark at Liv. Nobody knows for sure how that will play out. And, you know, really nobody knows like how this is going to impact, you know, players on the PGA Tour going forward. Other than I think everybody sort of expects that they are going to profit immensely, if not immediately, then down the road.
Do you think that this will be a you know, whether or not, I don't even know if they have the power to stop it, this will be allowed by the Justice Department for this foreign entity to become so a part of, well, it won't be a part of the 501c6, will it? Because that's the PGA Tour. That stays the same. And DP World stays the same. But this new entity will be a for-profit entity. So how could the Justice Department stop them?
Well, I mean, the Justice Department might not look kindly on this marriage, so to speak. You know, my understanding is there is regulatory approval that needs to take place. The DOJ has been looking at the tour anyway. For fears of non-competitive practices, well, this would be sort of the epitome of non-competitive. You've just all banded together to be one, and there is no competition now. You know, to be honest, that is like way beyond my scope of birdies and bogeys. I mean, it's just so intricate to figure out what all that means. I mean, the DOJ has been looking at the tour anyway. Basically at Liv's behest. I mean, so now what? Does Liv want them to back off? Are they okay? There's so much to this. I mean, the tour didn't want things to come out in discovery. Yasser, there's no way he wanted to be deposed. There was a lot of incentive for them to get this lawsuit done.
Eliminated. You mean not done, but just let's not do this anymore.
Right. And then you know, neither side, I mean, the Pips can afford it. The tour was gonna bleed dry if they were gonna keep doing this. And plus the tour's also been, you know, to fight off LIV. They've increased purses, they've come up with this designated event system, which has become very expensive. And you know, so here we are.
Yeah. Jay Monahan and Yasser Al-Ramayan sitting side by side, smiling, conducting a television interview on CNBC just days after saying they weren't ever going to talk to one another. I mean, it's like two mouths are talking, and I just read from, I'm talking with Bob Herrig, Sports Illustrated senior writer at golf. I'm reading from your article, which goes on. How long did it take you to write these many pages?
Actually, I got paid by the word. Man, it's been a hell of a week. I'll tell you that. I mean, I was around when the whole Tiger thing broke, and you know, long time ago now. And you know, this is every bit on that level. It's just so shocking, and you just don't know what's coming next.
Yeah.
So, it's been pretty wild, and getting all the answers is difficult because, you know, the tour's all of a sudden, you know, they're sort of, you know, trying to explain what's going to happen, which appears to be them, you know, without saying it, claiming victory. Whereas the LIV side, the PIF side, since Tuesday has really gone quiet.
Oh.
And I just can't imagine that they got into this to be, you know, sort of in the background. You know, we'll see. I really don't know, but I mean, it just the way it's kind of come out now these last few days is really, really puzzling. Because they're allegedly going to pump a lot of money in, and you know, LIV won't be a threat anymore, but yet we're not going to have any say, and we're not going to do anything. I mean, just kind of there's an ulterior motive there somewhere, and so far that has not come out.
Exactly. What's their get?
Well, you know, their get is, I mean, on the surface, their get is they have a seat at the table. I mean, Al-Ramayan is going to be a member of the PGA Tour Policy Board. There's only 10 people on that. There's five of them who are players. There's only five, you know, business people who are part of that. Pretty good seat to have. It means you have a say in matters.
Uh-huh.
It means that, you know, perhaps he will steer them towards, you know, doing more business with them, whether it be title sponsorships or, you know, having tournaments around the world, that sort of thing. He's also the chairman of the new entity. My understanding is, of something like that, the CEO, which Monahan will be, typically reports to the chairman. Now, the CEO is the day-to-day guy, but the chairman is the boss. The tour is kind of trying to say that Monahan will be the boss. I mean, they haven't really explained how that is going to work or even what that new entity is going to do. So, you know, there's speculation they'll fold LIV into it, you know. I can't see any scenario in which LIV has events that are part of the regular PGA Tour, but they could be part of this for-profit entity. I mean, LIV is a for-profit deal. Could they pare down the number of events and still do what they're doing under this new banner? Or does LIV operate separately outside of all of this like they've been doing? Or do they just kill it? Like, nobody seems to know these answers.
Yeah, and as you write, at the very end of your piece, you write that, you know, Yasser loves LIV. It's his baby. He's been involved in the details from the beginning. It's hard to see him walking away from it.
Yeah, it is, especially because if they're going to play this year, they're going to spend another $200 million in purses, plus all the money they have to spend in infrastructure and travel, put on these events. Why would you do that if you're going to shut it down? It makes no sense. Just shut it down now. I don't get it. I mean, I can't imagine they're worried about, like, paying out the players when they'll just pay out their contracts. But there's a lot of other money that could be saved and time, you know, time spared to not do this. So that leads to the speculation that they're going to keep going. But how? I mean, how are they going to do it? How are they going to get along? How are they, you know, how is this going to work? There's been all this talk about how the LIV guys can come back to the PGA Tour after paying some sort of penalties or suspensions or what have you. Well, how will that work? Will they, does that mean that they think LIV is done? Or, you know, there's some guys who play for LIV who don't care about going back to the PGA Tour.
Right.
They were perfectly content to do that.
Like Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, and you know, but I mean, I'm even talking more about a guy like Charles Howell.
Oh yeah.
Or Harold Varner or Brendan Steele, guys who probably were not going to be elite players anymore, and were perfectly fine to go do that. Now what? So that's where we are right now.
My goodness. And we have no idea when the next announcement will be made. So as you said, the one side's gone quiet and the other side's not talking either. So we're just all going to have to wait under the cloak of silence.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, at some point, you know, look, you have to give them time to figure it out. There is this matter of whether or not the government has to approve this deal. Mm-hmm. I could see where this might take a while. And then so it might just be business as usual for a while. The tour operates, LIV operates, you know. But, you know, LIV's whole thing is built on that team model and recruiting new players and having team captains. And if you're going to keep doing that, then why would you – if you're going to keep doing that, then how do you then pare that down into something new? Like, you would think they have to figure that out before they start next season. And, you know, but look, there's just, you know, we're three, four days into this. It's really hard to know.
And so they've been talking, I think Rory McIlroy said that he knew that they were talking several weeks in the last many weeks. When did this all start?
Well, I mean, he didn't know about it until this week, but... But apparently this has gone back 8 weeks, 7 or 8 weeks when it first started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Bob Herrig, senior writer, Sports Illustrated, it's all very interesting. And it's, you know, I don't know. It's it just doesn't make any sense at some point to try to understand it until they give us some more information. And that's all there is to it.
Exactly.
Bingo.
Yep.
Yeah, so as long as we know that it's not a merger, it was like, merger? Didn't that throw you when everybody was calling it a merger? Like, can you imagine?
Yeah, I think that was sort of misstated. CNBC said that at the beginning. They were the first ones to come out with this. They used the merger term.
Yeah.
But it's nowhere in the press release. They've talked about it more as like an agreement, a partnership, an alliance. You know, they're going to work together. They're going to own assets together, how that all works out. But like merger suggests that LIV is merging into the tour.
Exactly.
Which my sense is that is not happening.
Yeah. And Greg Norman doesn't seem to be included in anything. Have we heard from Greg?
Well, he spoke to the staff on Wednesday. He has not spoken publicly. He viewed it as a good thing. It opens up pathways to sponsorships, full steam ahead, you know, that kind of thing. But it could have just been, you know, you got to keep the employees engaged. I mean, if they don't say anything, why would anybody go to work?
Right.
You know, so there's a lot to be answered for there. My dealings with LIV employees and LIV players who I've reached out to is they don't have much information.
Ah, yes. Doesn't this all seem familiar to people who have been in corporations or other entities that, you know, all of a sudden there are changes and no one's given any notice. It's being decided on levels. Who is Jimmy Dunn, by the way?
Well, I mean, he's on the policy board, but he's been kind of a mover and shaker in the game for years. And a lot of players know him. He's the president of Seminole Golf Club down here in Florida, which is a prestigious club. He's a member at Augusta. He's a member at Pine Valley. He runs a company that used to be situated in the World Trade Center. And he was playing golf the day of the 9/11 attacks in a qualifier for a U.S. Mid-Am, and 66 of his employees were killed.
Oh, my God.
And so last year, he was very outspoken about Liv. Very, you know, he's friends with Phil Mickelson,
yeah.
And he didn't use Phil by name. They played together at AT&T Pro-Am a few times. He knows a lot of these guys. He knows Rory. He knows Dustin Johnson. But he made it very clear he was no fan of Liv. The annual pro member thing they have at Seminole the day after the Honda Classic, which is very popular with pros. Liv guys were not invited. And then yet he made the first overture. He actually texted Yasser, you know, what, a couple months ago now to initiate all this, and here we are.
Wow. So much behind the scenes. It's so intriguing. It'll make a wonderful movie one day, don't you think?
No question. Yeah.
Oh, Bob Herrig, thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. Thank you for all the work that you've done. You know, get a hold of this article because it's really good. I love there is no overstating the shock of seeing Jay Monahan and Yasser Al-Ramayan sitting side by side, both smiling. I couldn't agree with you more. Thank you, Bob.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
You too. Aloha. We're going to wrap it up and thank all the people who made this show possible. But I also want to tell you today is the 106th. King Kamehameha Celebration Floral Parade. It starts by Iolani Palace, 9 o'clock. King Kamehameha statue, of course. Road closures probably already happening. I think they started at 7:30. I should have warned you at the beginning. Sorry about that. So the parade goes from the Iolani Palace by the statue over down to Punchbowl Ala Moana Kalakaua Kapiolani Park is when it ends. And then, of course, there will be celebrations there. Thank you, Aloha Power Equipment, the new mega store next door to the Costco gas station on Alakava. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. And remember, it's hurricane season. So it's time to make sure that you've got everything in place just in case. Go stop in. Aloha Power Equipment. They're, of course, on Alakava as well as in Waipahu. MD Restoration, flood from the inside or out. Flood or fire disaster. You need help immediately. MD Restoration's on it. Anytime, day, night, right away. If disaster strikes your home or office, call MD Restoration. Licensed contractors as well. So they can do the cleanup and the repair. That's 528-3434. Rainer Garage Doors, a beautiful look and maximum security. Quiet, really quiet. And your first zone of safety. The Rainer Door, adding value to your home. It's the perfect time now. Check them out. HawaiiDoor.com. The number 676-3667. SIPAC for cybersecurity for your company or your organization. SIPAC, an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere in Hawaii. Call 808-861-9595 online, SIPAC.com. If you're stumped, you have no idea what to give a great friend who seems to have everything. Give them a Poipu Bay gift certificate. And by the way, we didn't get the 9th caller today. So we'll try again next Saturday because we want to give you 2 rounds of golf at Poipu Bay. We are very honored to have the support of the Aloha Section PGA. And we bring PGAs into the clubhouse because they spend a lot of time working on the game. They love the game. It took a long time to become a PGA. And
they love sharing their knowledge with you. If you're trying to get a little bit better in this game, be sure to call the Aloha Section PGA, and they'll let you know where there's a PGA, a Professional Golfer Association member, who can help you with your game. And thank you for your mama, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. And you can listen to the show if you miss parts of it at radiogolfclub.com. That is where you'll find the podcast. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2023.